It is an awesome pleasure to be with you this afternoon. I want to just be very thankful to the teaching team and all the things that we have heard all the way up to this moment for this semester. And I pray that we will be able to say something today that will bring us all to true repentance. The papers that are in front of you, I'm actually going to use those today because it actually has two passages of scripture that I really wanted to talk to you about. When I was first asked, when we first met as a team and we were looking at some of the actual topics that were coming up, and I began to look in the book of Ezra, when I picked true repentance, I had not yet read where this actual chapter from the Little Work Study book that we had, I hadn't read where the scriptures were coming out of to make this be true repentance. Well, when I read it, it was in the book of Ezra in chapters 9 and 10. You see Ezra telling the children of Israel, if they had been connected to these pagan wives and these pagan people, that they had to then separate from those people, and if they were going to come into an understanding of obedience to God, then they were going to have to leave even their wives. Now, the reason why I can't use Ezra is because he led them to a law, and they had to obey this law to be a part of God's people. Now, if I hold you all to the law, I guess we're all going to be lost in here today. So I figured I can't really use Ezra because every one of us in this room are breaking some type of law that is in the Old Testament. And Max Lucado, who wrote the study book, he calls this true repentance because the people ended up having to, even if they had to, leave their wives. Now, some of you in here, I don't know where you met your wife, and I'm not here to judge your wife, but I'm not here to tell you you have to leave your wives today. Well, I got one hallelujah in here now. But what I will say to you is that what you're going to find out is that everybody in this room needs the fruit of true repentance to work in your life every single day. When you look at what was the law, Jesus tells us in five simple parables. And when you look at Luke, the chapter number 15, you will find these five simple parables. And one would be the lost coin. And the other one was the lost sheep. And another one is the lost son. Then you even get into the one that is about stewardship. When you look at these parables, it's all really pointing towards something that actually happens in verse number 1 and 2. And that is kind of what I want to talk to you about, because repentance is a commitment to personal change. If you are not having a commitment to personal change on a daily basis, then you're really not walking in the way that Christ really would have us walk. Now, one of the things that happens is when you quit drinking or smoking or sleeping with somebody or looking at porn or whatever it is that you struggle with, once we get rid of the big sins, we seem not to really walk in true repentance anymore. Because now, if you see somebody that has an issue with their wife, or you see somebody cursing somebody out, then you look at them and say, oh, they're not a Christian, man. They're not living for the Lord. With not really understanding that true repentance is not just about your big sins, but it is about any place that you actually fall short of God's glory. Which means you can't, that means going into the law. That means any law that you are breaking. And most of the laws that we break, we don't even think that they're real laws. Like backbiting. Like bearing false witness. Everybody in this room has told a story about somebody else that you know that you didn't actually see the story happen, but you told the story anyway, and so you bared false witness. I know, y'all looking at me like, huh? Everybody in this room, you have lied in the last year about something. I know, you're like, but it was just a little lie. It didn't mean much. It didn't hurt anybody. It didn't do any harm to anyone. It wasn't a lie like I lied on my taxes or lied to my wife. It was just a little lie. You broke the law. So it means you need to repent, no matter how small the issue was. And a lot of times what we don't realize is that in order to really develop this real relationship with Christ, there has to be repentance and a true commitment for change. Three areas that I wrote on that piece of paper for you. And in those three areas are confession, ceasing, and continuation. You say, why would you say confession? Because at some point in time, you have to recognize that what you are doing is wrong, and you need to confess that thing and say, you know what? I'm wrong. The second part of that is ceasing. Meaning, at some point in time, no matter however big or however small your issue is, you got to stop doing this thing that is displeasing to God. And the third thing that you have to do is continuation. You say, why is continuation important to me? Because some of you are going to have to learn how to get up from your guilt and just start walking with God. You cannot waddle in your sin. And what I mean by waddling, meaning you know you've done wrong, so you say, I'm sorry. You say you're going to stop, but you don't continue in your walk with Christ and you allow that thing to hold you forever or for 6 months or for a year or maybe even 5 years or 10 years. And it keeps you from actually being who you really want to be within Christ because you're living in all the guilt or the shame of what you have done. And so repentance, again, is a commitment to personal change that works every day. The one thing that I wanted to share with you, and obviously this is why I talked about bearing false witness and I talked about all the lies that have been told in this room, is the one thing that you need to understand is everybody in this room is a sinner. Now, when we say you're a sinner, I'm saying you commit more than one sin. Now, you say, but Demetrius, that doesn't seem right. How can you call me a sinner and I'm saved? Well, you are a sinner saved by grace. In other words, just because you call yourself saved and now you are a Christian or a believer and you walk with the Lord, you yet still have sins in your life that occur all the time. And until you stop believing that you are not a sinner, that is when you lose true repentance. Because once you think you're perfect, you have nothing to repent for. I want to share this with you. In Luke, the 15th chapter, 1 and 2, it says, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him to hear him, meaning they drew near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. What they didn't understand was they spoke those people's deliverance. It says he receives sinners and eats with them. So if you're not a sinner, I would say you're not really at the table of Jesus. Because until you know that you are a sinner, that is when you need Jesus the most. And a lot of times when we get saved, we forget that we're yet still sinners. And this becomes an issue because the story that we're about to read, we think the story is about the son, the prodigal son that went out with harlots and spent all the money. The story is not about the son that went out and done the sin. The story is about the man, the son, that stayed with Jesus or stayed with his father. You say, well, how could you say that? That can't be so true. Because when you look at the two parables prior to talking about the son, this is what you realize. He talks about a lost sheep. And the first reason why he's telling this parable is because there were scribes and Pharisees judging him for talking to people that really wanted to hear him. And so now they're sitting hearing him, and he says, well, let me tell y'all a little story. There's this guy that has this sheep, and the sheep gets lost. And the man goes out and he gets the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home, and people rejoice and he rejoices because he has found this sheep that was lost. He goes to the next step and he says, I want to tell you another story. There's a story about a coin, and this woman loses this coin, and she checks every place in the house to find this coin. And when she finds the coin, she picks up the coin, and she goes and she rejoices because she has found this coin. Which brings us to our last story. If you would look on your papers to Luke 15, 17 through 20, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I need you to understand something about this scripture. Coming to yourself is not an act that you can do alone. Coming to yourself is only an act that the Holy Spirit has to touch your mind to even get you to recognize that what you are doing is wrong. Remember, Paul even said that the consciousness of being able to understand what is wrong has to come from God, because in our nature, it is completely sinful. How many times have you done things and justified the fact that you done them? You cussed him out because he cussed you out. You were justified. And now we're under a new law that says, even if he cussed me out, I don't have the right to cuss him back out. I don't have the right to be unforgiving, even though I can come up with a lot of good reasons not to forgive. Some of you are sitting in this room right now, and there is an uncle, a cousin, a friend, a family member, a close friend, that right now, and if you've seen them, there will be something bubbling up in you right now saying, I really still don't like him. And yet, you don't think you're a sinner because you showed up for Bible study today. You don't think you're a sinner because you went to church and paid your tithes. Not realizing that just because you do these outward acts does nothing to do with the inward act that God has to do in your life. And a lot of times we get stuck. We even get stuck in looking at other people's outward acts. And we see outward acts, and we don't see the need for an inner change that has to occur first. When many of us have done many things that we would be ashamed of, I am sure there are about at least 1,000 stories in here you don't want nobody else to know. And we look good today, don't we? All sitting at our tables, we even told people on our job, I'm on my way to huddle today. And they were like, what's that? It's a Christian men's group. Well, they're probably looking at you like, some of you, they're probably was looking at them and saying, you probably need that Christian men's group. You need to go. But one of the things that happens is the Bible says he comes to himself. Now, understand this. The man was out. He was with prostitutes. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. He finds himself in a pig pen. And he comes to himself. Now, I want to share this with you to let you know that only the Holy Spirit could have revealed it. That wasn't the first day he was in the pig pen. He had been in the pig pen many days, because the Bible says he joined himself to another person of that country, and he began to find himself eating out of the slop of the pigs. But one day, he comes to himself. Well, what happened to the first day that he was in the pig pen? There was no consciousness. Because only God can bring the consciousness back to you. This is why I am here today. I hope that by the time I am done, that there will be some consciousness in you that arises that says, I really need to repent for the way I am. The second thing that happens in this story, which goes to confession, he begins to have a vision. And the vision was, he says, I should not sit here because in my home, I know that even servants are able to eat well. And you say, well, how does this vision come? In some of your worst moments, you will get a vision from God that says your life doesn't have to be the way it is right now. The next thing that happens to him is he says, I will arise and go to my father. Which means what? He had to take into the place of confessing, ceasing, and then continuation. He knew that he could not get to his father sitting where he was right then and there. He was going to have to get up. Now, many of us struggle with this getting up because you think that everything has to be perfect, right? You know, because, you know, the way I was taught repentance is once you do a sin and you say you repent, you are to never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever do it again. And if you did do it again, it meant you didn't repent. How many of you were taught that before? You know, you never ever do it again. Now, how many of you ever found out that there was a lot of things that you ever did again? Does that mean you didn't repent? No, that doesn't mean that you did not repent. Repentance, remember what I said, it is a commitment to personal change. And so what does repentance do? Even if you messed up one time, even if you messed up 100 times, repentance says you have to make a commitment to personal change in your life. So it's not just about the sin, but it is more about commitment. I want to show you something. When you get to verse number 25, and I want to talk to you about the older son as I close this. Because remember what I told you in the beginning. This story was never about the prodigal son who went out and sinned. This was more a story about the older son. The story should be called the parable of the older son. And you say, why? Because why should we look bad upon the younger son when he repented? Did y'all hear what I said? Why should we look at the younger son? He repented. Why are we still talking about what he did wrong? He repented. But do we find ourselves acting like older sons? Somebody tries to repent and get away from their divorce, their bad marriage, their struggling issues with lust, their struggling issues. You seen them hanging around some woman. You saw their car parked at the hugger. And you deal with their sin instead of understanding, if they're no longer at the hugger, that they were in a repentant state now. But how many times do we talk about people's past? And so look at verse number 25. It says, the older son was in the field, and he came and he drew near the house, and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and said, what does this mean? And he said, your brother has come. We have received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But the Bible says he was angry and would not go in. Now, I want you to really read this. It says, therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. In other words, the father came out and said, please, please, come on in and let's celebrate. And he answered his father and said, you know what? I've been serving you for a bunch of years. And you know what? I have never transgressed at any time. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The father just begged him to come into the house. What do you mean you have never not done what the father said? So if the father is in his face saying, come in, and he's saying, I'm not going. And he has the nerve to look at the father and say, I've been going to church. I go to Sunday school. I show up for the men's huddle every week, faithfully. But he says, there's another level of obedience I want out of your life. And he says, no, I'm not doing that. Now, I need you to understand something. If he can refuse the father in his face, don't think that when he got alone, he was always doing what the father said. Another way to see it, wasn't it? This is impossible. How could God be in your face and you can refuse God in his face, and yet you get alone in your own madness and you'll obey everything that he says? It doesn't make much sense. And so let's go further in the story. He says, and yet you never gave me a young goat. You never made merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, talking about his past. You killed the fatted calf. And then the father says to him, he says, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. He said, but this was right, that we should make merry. You say, well, Demetrius, you said all of that to say what? We're all sinners. We all need repentance. You know, it's amazing, you know, when we take communion at my church, one of the things that happens in our church is I always give a moment, because Paul says, let every man examine himself. And in that moment of examining yourself, you know, I always give everybody a moment. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have to distribute the communion at my church. And when I say examine yourself, I have not done one communion that something didn't hit me in my head and say, you need to get this right with me. I don't let that moment go too long, because I'll have too many things that I'll have to get straightened out. But the Bible says after that, in 1 Corinthians, it says, and after you examine yourself, it says, then take the wine, then take that cup and drink. But ask God for forgiveness. And I say a simple prayer with everyone, and I say just, Lord, we're sorry for where we do not meet your mark. Forgive us. Give us an opportunity once again to be obedient, to be your children. I'm here to tell you, real repentance doesn't start until you have that attitude in your life every day that you are going to miss the mark. On your best day, you miss the mark and you're nothing but a sinner saved by the grace and mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody can stand in here and be perfect. Do I expect growth in us? Of course. I would hope that I don't behave like I behaved when I was 17 years old or 18 years old or 19 years old or even 30 years old or even 40 years old. I would expect growth in all of our lives. But the real truth of the matter is, no matter how big I think I ever get in God, I still need to repent every single day. Would you bow your heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And we thank you, Father. I thank you for these men that have just sit and listened so intently today. There may have been somebody that came in here who says they have no sin. But, Father, in your word, you said of any man that would say he has no sin is a liar. And I just ask, Father, for those of us that may have walked in here real religious, holding grudges against one another, being living in unforgiveness, but yet doing the charges of showing up for church and Bible study, which really mean nothing to you if you're not changing our hearts. Father, I ask that you speak to that man today. Father, I ask that you speak to all of us today in those areas where we need to cease our sin. Father, we just ask that we become more obedient to your will and your way. For someone in here that is in a place of have not reached a place of continuation, meaning they have allowed their sin to keep them in one place and they're waddling in their sin. Father, I ask that today that you give that man the strength to get up and to walk with you, to leave what is in the past, and to trust you and to walk in the newness of life, which is the covering of your blood by your Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.